Hello, and welcome to Ghoul Society Bedtime Stories. I'm your host, Sarah, and in these short story episodes, my big sister Jamie and I will be solo covering tales that deserve the spotlight, but are a bit short for our regular episodes. Today, I am grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasainich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. You guys, I don't know about you, but the summer is flying by. I am recording this on July 30th, so how is it August already? It's August long weekend. Comment on our social media what you did August long if you got the time off. Here on the west coast of Canada, we've had kind of a weird summer. Very rainy on the weekends, and of course very sunny during the Monday to Friday work week, which has been so annoying, especially someone who works a desk job and is inside about 8.5 hours working every day. It's a little bit annoying. Wherever you are, I hope you're able to enjoy some sun for that vitamin D. And I would just like to say that I know a lot of Canada and the US, of course, other parts of the world are facing horrible, horrible wildfires yet again. So I just wanted to say that our thoughts are with anyone dealing with them. From experience, we at Ghoul Society know and have seen the destruction that wildfires can have on our communities. So this is your friendly reminder to educate yourself on how to prevent wildfires if you're out enjoying the wilderness, such as if you smoke, putting out your cigarettes, and of course using water and burying your campfires properly. Anyway, let's get to today's episode. This week, we're staying on the west coast of Canada, and I will be visiting one of the most famous concert halls located on the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Imagine this. It's 1927, and you're walking up to Vancouver's newest concert hall to catch one of the popular vaudeville shows being played. Once inside, you see a mixture of Gothic, Spanish Renaissance, and Romanesque architectural styles. You find your seat and start to enjoy the show. Little do you know that what you are sitting in will become the city's best-known live venues, the Orpheum Theater. Located on Granville Street, this theater was actually called the New Orpheum when it opened in 1927. As the old Orpheum was located kind of further down Granville, and it was renamed the Vancouver Theater and would be later demolished in 1969 to make way for the Pacific Shopping Center project. At the time of its conception, the quote, New Orpheum was actually Vancouver's fourth Orpheum Theater and was one of 17 grand film places in Canada built by the Orpheum Circuit, which was based out of Chicago at the time. When this theater opened in 1927, it was said to be Canada's largest theater, holding 3,000 seats and costing a whopping $1.25 million to build. In today's money, it would have been around $23 million. In this grand scheme of buildings, I guess that's not that expensive because, you know, all these construction projects throughout Canada that we see, they cost billions. But a theater that holds 3,000 seats being $23 million, that's a lot of fucking money. During its formative years, the Orpheum hosted live dance and song performances, aforementioned vaudeville shows, and even silent films. During the Great Depression, when vaudeville was dying out, the hall became a movie theater, but continued to host live shows by the likes of Frank Sinatra. Between the 20s and 1940s, this theater became monumental in developing Granville Street as part of Vancouver's entertainment area. And the theater continued to show movies so often after the 30s that by 1974, it was actually proposed to be converted into a modern-day multiplex cinema. However, the city of Vancouver stopped this by buying the theater after a public protest and funding campaign had begun. It was closed down between 1975 and 1977 for very extensive renovations, as it wasn't being well taken care of. But when it reopened, it once again hosted live performances. Notably, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra began performing there. To this day, the Orpheum Theatre is very popular and is known for its live shows and continues to be home for the Symphony Orchestra. The Orpheum is now also part of the Vancouver Civic Theatres group of live performance venues and was noted as a historical landmark by the city in 1979. So you're probably wondering, Sarah, why on earth are you telling us about this theater? Are there ghosts? Was there a murder? Is this true crime? What's happening? And of course, it wouldn't be Vancouver if there weren't some ghosts. There are three main spirits that continue to enjoy shows at the Orpheum Theater. The most well-known is that of a man who appears on stage, often during closing hours when staff are shutting down for the night. Others have witnessed a small ball of white light floating near the stage, which darts around and soon vanishes behind the curtain. Rumors surrounding this spirit say that he was some kind of acrobat who fell to his death while performing on stage during a vaudeville act during the 1920s. However, there's actually no written records to confirm this theory. The second ghost that floats around the theater is the full body apparition of an old men's bathroom attendant, still doing his job of keeping the washroom clean and the men smelling good. Previous chair of the Vancouver Civic Theater Board, Rob Haynes, was quoted as noting some weird behavior by this bathroom attendant spirit after some paranormal investigators had gone into the theater one evening. Why the activity was so strong in the men's room downstairs was because the two people from the Paranormal Society were women, and evidently he didn't like it and showed a lot of anger, end quote. Guess the spirit must continue to be old-fashioned if he's getting mad at women for being down near the men's room. The third spirit that people often see in the theater is that of a very well-dressed woman who is seen in the upper audience balconies. It's said that she gives performances a standing ovation before simply vanishing to wait for the next stage performance. And that's kind of all we know about the spirits of the Orpheum Theater. But with its history, it's not surprising that people would see spirits here, especially being located in the downtown center. I'm sure that there's spirits kind of floating in and out the theater all the time. So the next time you go to a show at the Orpheum Theater, keep your eyes on the stage to see the apparition of an acrobat looking upon the audience. Or if you're sitting in an upper audience area, you might catch a glimpse of a well-dressed woman giving a standing ovation, meaning you probably should too. I hope you enjoyed this ghostly bedtime story, and we will see you next time. If you have any questions, comments, critiques, or concerns, you can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at ghoulsocietypod and TikTok at ghoul.societypod. You can also find all of our episodes for free on YouTube. I also share some shorts on YouTube, so make sure to catch those while you're on there. And of course, you can find all of our resources in the episode's description. Thanks for listening, and don't let the bed bugs bite. Bye.